So the Naked Scientists are a science media production group based at Cambridge University. We make a range of different science podcasts and science radio programs, either for ourselves or for different clients such as the SABC in South Africa, the ABC in Australia, the Royal College of Pathologists, Rolls-Royce, EPSRC, STFC, Welcome Trip, there's lots. So we make a wide range of different podcasts. And what I'm going to tell you about just for the next few minutes is why it is that we do podcasts when obviously we have all these other strands that we do, such as traditional live radio. And I think there are three main points about doing a podcast, and that is that you can extend your reach, be it to different demographics, be it geographically or temporally. You can leave a legacy that if you were doing a live broadcast, you couldn't, and it can become part of a suite of supporting material. So to demonstrate the reach effect, on one side of the screen we have the demographic of our BBC local radio live listeners who listen to us live on a Sunday night and a Thursday night. When we do, on the Sunday night, it's a science magazine show, so it's interviews and experiments and pre-recorded sections. On the Thursday night, it's a pure question and answer show. So that shows you that it is geographically restrained in the east of England. They are, on average, 50+. Generally C2DE, which we can go into later if people haven't touched those sorts of things. I'm not actually sure if they still use those categorizations. They have an average science education. It's slightly more than half, up to 70% female audience, but they're fiercely loyal. BBC local radio listeners most likely only listen to BBC local radio. If you contrast that with the podcast listeners, we know that they're worldwide. Most of our podcast listeners are in America, which I think largely reflects podcast usage rather than any particular appeal we have for Americans. But we know that we have listeners in Australia, throughout Africa, throughout Europe. We recently had an email from a listener in Paraguay, which we were quite pleased to receive. So it's obviously a far wider ranging thing. They're a lot younger, with an average age of 30, and they are quite well educated in science, with 10% of the audience, these are based on figures from a survey we did in 2009, so it may have changed, have a science-based PhD, but at the same time, 30% of them left school at 16. So it's quite a broad range. And the gender bias is very different. This may just reflect the general consumption of science podcasts, but we find that it's only 30% female compared to our radio listeners. So that was the reach aspect. The other aspect is the fact that you leave a legacy. Now, there's over 1,000 podcasts on the Naked Scientist site. They range from very early, slightly embarrassing ones that are now 11 years old. But it means that people can use it as a reference archive. So they can go into there. It's all easily searchable. You can find interviews with scientists from 2004, or you may then find the same person back in 2008 or us referring to their work. So you can use it as an archive to see how the science has developed across a range of topics, a range of different guests. It also includes news stories and their references. So it's quite a nice resource just to see a sort of 300-word write-up of this is what this news story was, going back 10 years. And there's also a good archive of questions in there. So it means that we can keep these things, as long as we've got hosting, we can keep them online for as long as we can. And if people do have a science question, they may well find that somebody asked it in 2002 and we have an answer online. And the final aspect to it is the fact that we treat podcasts as part of a suite of material. So we obviously have our live broadcasts. We occasionally put articles into newspapers and so on, or other traditional printed material. Other new media as well, vodcasts that we do, social networking, those sorts of things. Putting articles, stage shows, and links to academic journals on their podcasts don't need to be standalone in the way that a newspaper article or a radio broadcast quite often will be. And I think those are the key points about why people podcast. So at this point, I shall hand over to Liz.